welcome to the Labrador podcast from Tales of Success Labrador Training. Hello and welcome back. Thanks for joining me again as we hear from today's guest about life with her three-year-old Labrador. Many of our listeners also follow Tales of Success and the Labrador podcast on Instagram. And if you do have an Instagram account that follows other dog accounts, then the chances are you've probably seen many gorgeous pictures of the dog that we're chatting about today. I'm joined by Olivia, who is Chief Admin Officer for Mabel the Lab's Instagram account. And amongst other things today, we're going to be chatting about living life by the sea, training, challenges of having a dog, particularly during lockdown, and the importance of great nutrition. Olivia, hello to you. Thanks
hello.
For joining us.
Thank you. It's really excited to be here.
Good. Let's start off with the main lady. So we're talking about Mabel. So start off by telling us and everyone else that's listening a little bit about Mabel and the wonderful life that she leads.
Yeah, so Mabel is a three-year-old black Labrador. She is a working line Labrador, so she's not the typical Labrador that you always see that's quite chunky. She's more lean. We always get asked if she's a crossbreed, but no, she is pure lab. Her parents were both working gun dogs. We don't work Mabel. She is our family pet. We have done gun dog training with her just during lockdown, just to keep us busy, but we don't work her specifically. But we do use our gun dog training on a daily basis. But we are lucky enough to live in Cornwall, so beaches and the sea is our everyday walk. Mabel absolutely loves swimming. She loves going to the beach. It's her favourite place in the world. So we're definitely not short on walks here.
It sounds like the perfect life. And at the time of us recording this, it's like 30 degrees outside. So I've just got these pictures now of Mabel just having the best time at the beach, which I'm sure she absolutely loves. And you said that Mabel was working line, but actually she's a family pet. And how have you found that, having a working line as a family pet? Has it been as you expected?
It's different to what I expected. So when we first got her, everyone said working lines are wired all the time. They're really keen to go, which they are, obviously. Their Labradors are really sort of, they want to be out doing things. She's not sort of, her specifically though, she's not sort of on the go 24/7. She's quite happy just to chill sometimes. She's keen to do anything. As long as we're with her doing stuff, she's keen to do anything. But I think the main difference for us was that people are just so used to seeing the sort of more show labs. So we always get asked if she's a crossbreed all the time, but no, she is definitely 100% lab, and her love for water definitely shows that she is 100% lab.
Yeah, and I think that's really common actually, because typically most people that don't know about Labradors or maybe don't own them, they see in their mind it's a Labrador is kind of a stocky, maybe slightly overweight thing that just kind of plods behind you. But of course, working line labs are much slighter, leaner, and probably way more energetic for the most part. How long have you owned Labradors? Is Mabel your first lab, or have you had labs previously?
So Mabel is my first Labrador. So I wasn't able to have a dog growing up just due to family circumstances and things. I was always obsessed with dogs, but I've always looked after and sort of always gone to lean towards gun dogs. I used to look after flat coat retrievers specifically, fell in love with that breed, absolutely adore them. But I've always just loved labs, and especially the working line labs. I don't know what it is, but I just love the sort of physique that they have. And they've just got such a striking face and everything that I just absolutely loved it. Mabel is our first dog. She is our first Labrador as well. So definitely a great sort of foot in the door with the breed.
And what made you choose a Labrador then for your first dog?
It was a tough one. I think it was just their outdoorsy personality. They just aim to please with everything. They're always so happy. I don't think I've ever met an unhappy Labrador. They're just keen to do everything. They're such great family pets as well. They're so gentle. Mabel's such a sensitive soul. Like, she's so gentle and polite to everybody. I think it was just more than anything, I love gun dogs anyway, so I already knew I wanted a gun dog. And it was just the fact that they love swimming, they love being outdoors, they're so active, but also so friendly, happy to do anything with you. And they're also really easy to train as well. They just want to please all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So prior to getting Mabel, your interaction with the dogs, I know you kind of interact with dogs as a kid particularly.
Yeah.
So I've got a nice little story about you buying dog biscuits. So tell us a little bit about the childhood memories of life with dogs, even if they weren't yours.
Yeah, they weren't mine. Yeah, I used to, so I wasn't able to have a dog. It was just it didn't work in our house, and my parents both worked, and I was obviously a child, so it just didn't work. And I'm very grateful that they made the decision, even though there was lots of tears when I was growing up that I couldn't have a dog. But now I totally understand why, and I'm quite grateful that they didn't just get a dog just because I wanted one. But I was just obsessed with dogs, and we lived in a really small Cornish village, and everybody just knew me as the dog obsessed girl. And I used to go and borrow other people's dogs and take them for walks, train them, take them to dog shows. And I had all these rosettes in my room for dogs, with dogs that weren't even my own. I used to drag my mum to crafts every year. My mum wasn't a huge dog fan before they had me, and then lo and behold, became a dog fan after I dragged her to many, many crafts shows. And I used to buy copious amounts of biscuits and bring them back for all the dogs in the village. But it was definitely a dog obsessed childhood. I used to, even for Christmases and birthdays, my parents used to buy me dog biscuits, which now I think was very clever, because that was just all I wanted, because that meant I could go and say hello to more dogs.
It sounds like it was destined. It was kind of Mabel was meant to be with you, because you've clearly got that obsession about dogs, and it has been there for a long time. Now you've got Mabel, what would you say the best bit is about having her with you?
She's just like my shadow. She's like my, honestly, she's like my best friend. She's just my right-hand girl. She comes absolutely everywhere with me. She comes to work with me. She comes out with me. We go out all the time. It's just having her there constantly. And we, like, before, my partner works a lot. I worked a lot, but having been able to take her with me to work is just such, it's just amazing. Having her there all the time. We're literally never apart. But it's just having a little companion there. So we walk for miles along the Cornish coast together, just me and her, and we just have the best time. That's just my happiest days, are just out with her, walking along the coast path and going in the sea with her. And a lot of my friends I've met through Mabel as well. So she's really brought so much to my life.
Sounds absolutely ideal. It's kind of perfection, that dog beach lifestyle, walks and stuff like that. She's 3 years old, so you've not got to this point where you've got a really good relationship with your dog just by chance. You've obviously worked at building that relationship, probably lots of training and bits and pieces in there. So tell us about the training that you've done and your daily, weekly, monthly routine. Do you have kind of this set routine that you follow with training or previously have done?
Yeah, so not so much anymore now that she's older. We did focus on it a lot when she was a puppy. She was a lockdown puppy. She was a planned puppy, but it just happened to fall during lockdown, unfortunately. But it did mean that we were off work for a while, so could focus on lots of training. We'd focus, recall was a massive thing for us, because I wanted her to be able to go off and explore, but also to know when to come back. And she, 9 times out of 10, she's really good at that, unless she sees the sea. But yeah, it was we focused a lot of it during lockdown. Obviously, we were quite limited on what we could do. But a lot of it, I think I said about the gun dog training we did, we didn't do it because we wanted the intention of working her. We did it because a lot of the things you can use in everyday life, a lot of it is staple things. So things like the stop command, the stop whistle, waiting, walking to heel, things like that. It's so important. They're all really, really vital things that you can just use in every day as well. And it was so interesting as well to learn about it. So that was a really big thing. It kept us busy during lockdown as well, and it just meant that we could do bits at home and not just sit there and do nothing. It kept us busy, and with her being such a young puppy as well, it meant we could really focus on sort of things from day one. So in a way, it was a bit of a blessing.
Do you feel that when you were doing all that training, did you see that Mabel almost craved more? Was she wanting to do more? Was she happy to partake in it all? Or was she kind of like, just fancy sitting on the sofa today, mum?
Yeah, she's really keen to learn. As long as she's got a job to do, she's really happy. Yeah, she does like a bit of, like, a lie on the sofa, but she's, as long as she's got a job to do, she's really happy, and she's quite keen to do things and learn things. And it was quite fun, sort of just it's I like seeing her gradually understand things that you're trying to explain to her. So you can see at first she's not sure, and then the more you sort of practice it, she gets it. And I really like that, when they start to actually fully understand what you're trying to explain to them.
It's kind of, it's like that light bulb moment, isn't it? You kind of go,
Yeah.
great, our dogs have got it. They fully understand. And it's kind of where all your hard work pays off as well, because actually that's the point where you can maybe kind of ease off and relax a bit because your dog's kind of got it. And
Yeah.
that's a nice feeling. What were your top skills that you worked on or continue to work on to the present day? Have you got kind of a list of things that were really important to you other than recall?
Yeah, so recall is definitely number one. Heel work was a really good thing. I feel like heel work, though, same with a lot of things, it's always a work in progress. So I don't think you can ever 100% guarantee that they're going to have perfect recall, perfect heel work, things like that. I think they're always things that you need to work on. It was really important for us because I have had experiences with dogs before where they just sort of pull constantly. And it's, as much as it's painful for us being pulled constantly, it's also obviously quite harmful for them to be constantly pulling on the lead. So it was quite a big thing for us, was to have good heel work. The other thing was just socializing with different things. So before I had Mabel, I sort of fell into the trap of that socializing was meeting every single dog and saying hello to every single dog. And then when I got Mabel, I sort of understood it a bit more and learned about it. And I learned that it's not about meeting every dog and saying hello to every dog we meet. It's more about learning how to react, learning how to interact appropriately with dogs, and also to walk past dogs in the street and not to be bothered by them. So a lot of it was just learning to be focused on me, to learn to come back to me despite other dogs being there, and just having things like that also plays into the recall as well, I suppose. A lot of it as well was making sure she was relaxed and settled in social situations. So we do go to the pub a lot down here, and restaurants and things like that. Luckily, everywhere's dog friendly. So it was just important that she was quite relaxed and settled in those situations. And generally, she's really good, but it just meant that we just needed to work on that a bit when she was a puppy. And during lockdown, obviously, things weren't open. So that was a lot of stuff that sort of kicked in after lockdown. I'd say the other thing was just desensitizing her to things like fireworks and thunder. We used to play sort of thunder sounds over our Alexa when she was a puppy, just to get her used to it. The same with fireworks and things, and just not focus on it at all. Just let her just listen to them in the background. And she slowly now she's just not bothered by them at all. So it's something that that's really easy just to put on in the background. You don't even have to do anything. It was just literally putting something on and carrying on with our day.
There's so many things, like you say, your smart speaker, we've got YouTube, all that kind of stuff. You can ask these speakers to play all sorts of everyday sounds. So it could be roadworks, thunder, fireworks, car noises. And when you've got an 8-week-old puppy and you know you're at home and you think, right, what can I do with this puppy, what training can I do, just playing those noises in the background can actually be such an easy thing to do to just make them very normal. It never fully replicates the real thing, but actually it's a good start to maybe just play at low level when your dog's eating, just so it becomes just a standard noise. You mentioned as well about socialization with other dogs, that maybe you've kind of now understood that it's something different from what you thought it was. So I think from my point of view, a very common misconception is that people think socialization is letting your dog play with every dog and be really friendly and have loads of fun. That is a part of it. But actually, for me, I'd rather a dog be really neutral around other dogs. So that means they're not going to get overexcited. They're not going to be fearful. It's almost just like a non-response when they see other dogs. So if you were to have your time again with socialization, or if you're lucky enough to get another puppy in the future, how would you tackle that socialization with other dogs differently?
I think the trouble we had was obviously during lockdown, that played a big part in it. But I think it was just mainly we focused on rewarding when she would focus on us rather than the other dog. So I think I'd start that sort of from day one, even when she's out, when we can't walk her properly, just to carry her around, just to know that it's okay to walk past other dogs. She's quite good at it. She has her friends that she sees and goes absolutely mad with, but generally she's quite neutral. She just walked past other dogs in the street. She's not one to pull over to other dogs or anything like that. And I think that helped during the training from day one, just to ensure she was really neutral, just to ensure focus on me. We're quite reward based training, so it was always treats and things like that. So we'd always get her to focus on the treats and focus on me rather than focusing on other dogs. And we also, which I think played a big part, which I would definitely do again, is just to sit there at the side of the road, just to sit on a bench and or just sit in the forest, sit in the woods, sit on the beach, and just let people mosey on by, let people walk past, let dogs come past, and just let her relax and notice that they're there, but not to be pulling to see them, not to be have any sort of emotions about them, just literally to acknowledge that they're there, but to focus back on me. I think that was a huge thing for us, and it was something I actually really enjoyed doing, was just to sit there, let the world go by, and her to just sort of acknowledge they're there. And then once she was relaxed and not bothered anymore, we would continue with the walk. And that, I think, really helped from such a young age as well.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's things like going grabbing a takeaway coffee and sitting on a park bench, taking a picnic out and sitting in the middle of a forest and a couple of chews for your dog. Just kind of brings a little bit of calmness to that sometimes manic outdoor world that we take our dogs into. The training that you've done with Mabel, would you class it as an event? So did you kind of do a block of 5 sessions and then you did nothing else? Or would you say it's kind of this constantly evolving thing that you do every day almost without thinking about, and you maybe perceive that that will continue for the rest of Mabel's life?
Yeah, definitely a constant thing that's just going to evolve. I always take treats out on walks with us. We do take toys as well, but predominantly treats because she can get a bit focused on the ball. So it's something that we're always practicing. Really cool things like that. I don't think you can ever practice it too much. As I said before, I don't think it's something, same with heel work, that I don't think it's something that you ever just completely 100% nail. I think it is always something that you're going to be working on. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's just how it is. And obviously, every day is a good day to practice. I don't sort of set times that we're going to do it. Occasionally, possibly if we've got a bit of time in the garden or something, but generally every walk we're practicing something or other, whether it's recall, and you don't even realize you're doing it. It might just be that you're calling her back to put her on the lead or something like that, or just because she's going the wrong way or something, you're just recalling them without even realizing. So it's things like that I think you're always going to be working on. They're constantly evolving. Yeah,
I agree with that. With my dogs, whether they're young puppies or old dogs that live with me, we never really just have a dog walk. It's not just kind of as blindly following our dogs. There's always some element of task, behavior, enrichment, something that just kind of gets them working, gets the brain working, and just makes life much more enjoyable. Where do you think you would be at with Mabel if you hadn't done any of this training? Like, do you think she would have still just picked it up, or would it have been a disaster?
It's a hard one. She's like, to be honest, she picks up on a lot of things. I think it's really important that they have guidance and they have boundaries and that they learn right from wrong, and that they also have a sense of purpose. So I think training gives them a sense of purpose. It gives them a job to do. I think it can make dogs quite frustrated if they don't have a certain level of training. Like, I know everyone's levels of training are different, but I think it can get quite frustrating for them if they don't sort of understand what their job is and what is right from wrong and what they're meant to be doing. So it's difficult to say. I think that she would be probably a bit lost. I think she kind of likes, she gets so excited when we do any form of training. So I think that she would be quite lost without it. But then I suppose she wouldn't know what she's missing because she'd never had it. But I don't think she'd have picked it up 100%. No, I think it takes a lot of practice just to sort of get in there, definitely.
I always try and put myself in a dog's position and think how strange it must be to be put in this totally alien world where you don't know anyone, you don't understand the language, you don't really know what you're meant to be doing. You've just got to try and work it out. It must be so nice for them knowing that there's someone there just to guide them, support them, and care for them, really. You mentioned that Mabel likes food and you take treats and stuff out with you. Would you say that's how you've trained, or is it by positive reward training, food-based training, or have you tried any other quirky things to train her?
Yeah, no, so we're predominantly reward based. So whether it's a ball, it's generally treats, predominantly treats. I try to use high value treats, so things that we wouldn't just use on a day-to-day basis. So it might be things like cheese or liver cake. I always have a batch of liver cake in the freezer, which she loves. It might be sprats that I've just chopped up, or bits of sausage or ham or whatever. It's just always a high value treat that she wouldn't sort of get on a day-to-day basis, just so it's that bit more incentive for her to just do a bit of training with me. Yeah.
And so far in our chat, you've painted this really nice picture of life with Mabel, and it sounds pretty good, in all honesty. Is the reality of having Mabel what you perceived it would be? So you've always wanted dogs from a kid. Is it what you dreamt it would be, or has it been more difficult?
It has. It's definitely, I think it always opens up challenges, and I think it's so easy just to paint such a lovely picture. We do like genuinely have a lovely life with her, and we're so, so lucky to have her. And I genuinely couldn't have wished for a better first dog. Like, she's absolutely my soulmate and a dog, my soul dog. But it does have its difficulties. I think having her during lockdown was a blessing, but also it was really, really difficult. It was hard because we couldn't go out anywhere with her. We were so limited on when we could go and exercise her, and we couldn't join. We were hoping to do sort of some training classes with her sort of publicly. We were also hoping to take her to restaurants and pubs and things. So that obviously had to come at a later date, which I think was then a lot harder because she wasn't used to it from day one. And just things like that we wouldn't even think of, like people coming to the house. All of a sudden there was nobody coming to the house. Her world was just me and my partner in our house, and that was it. So then suddenly when lockdown restrictions were lifted, to have this whole new world that we've then got to help get her used to, it was definitely a struggle. And there's certain things now that she's still struggling with. She, like, don't get me wrong, she's such a lovely girl, she's such a sensitive girl, but there's always going to be something. And I think it's, we all think, like, we all take the best dog home, we all got like such a lovely perfect dog, but yeah, there's always reality. That's, it's never 100% perfect, definitely not.
Nothing is ever perfect, and that includes our dogs, even mine. They're not 100% perfect, 99.9% maybe, but not quite 100. So you said lockdown was a challenge, and I think a lot of people got a dog during lockdown and probably are still feeling the effects of that with their dogs for various different reasons. So what sort of challenges were the biggest for you, and how did you help Mabel overcome them as you've kind of come out of that lockdown phase?
Yeah, so again, people coming to the house was a huge thing because we didn't have obviously any delivery drivers, things like that. She still barks now when people come to the house, but it was just teaching her to sort of, yes, it's fine to acknowledge it. And I quite like the fact she barks when people come to the door. If it's someone she knows, she's not so much, but generally just new people, I don't mind that, as long as she can bark, alert us that they're there, but then knows to stop. She is getting better with that. We sort of started trying to scatter food sort of at the door, and she would slowly get used to it. She is doing a lot better. I don't mind sort of the odd alert bark because I think it's quite important sometimes, but as long as it's not just constant when they're coming through the door. I think the big thing for us was that, so we had quite an unfortunate incident when we were in Nottingham. So when Mabel was, I think she was about 5 or 6 months old, I had someone try and take her from me when she was a puppy. And obviously when they're in that developmental stage at that point of their life, so whatever sort of happens in that stage shapes their future essentially. We were in an unfamiliar environment. So we were living in Nottingham, my partner and I moved there for work from Cornwall. We have now come back. But it was, I was out on a walk with her and somebody tried to take her from me and came towards her. They first of all started asking how much she was, and I was just a bit speechless because I was a bit like a fish out of water there anyway. I'm not used to city life, I'm used to countryside, so it was totally different for me. But he then tried to get out of the car and started coming towards us and chasing us, and obviously Mabel understood that I was scared and stressed, so he then followed us to our house. But luckily I managed to get some help at that point, so that was really helpful. But I think that really spooked her. So she's a bit wary of new men. She's got like men that she knows she's absolutely fine with, but it takes her a little bit longer. Women, she's absolutely good as gold with. She'll say hello to anyone. She's not a dog that will pull you over to people all the time. She's quite neutral, I suppose, is the best word to say. But I think with men, she takes a little bit longer. And if there's an unfamiliar man walking towards her, she gets a bit freaked out. She will occasionally bark. It is something we're working on. I think now that we're out and about a bit more, it helps a lot because we're doing lots of training with that, lots of positive reinforcement, and she is 100 times better than she was. But it was just initially, I think, having a world that was just me, my partner and her, and then all of a sudden having that happen to her, and then seeing a world with all these people in that she didn't know who they were, and there was suddenly everything was busy, people are whizzing around everywhere. It's quite unnerving for her, and obviously to happen at such a young age, it's, I think, just something that stuck with her. And I think it's something we will always be working on. But it was definitely tough at the time. She is 100 times better than she was. Like, we've taken her out to places, she's had lots of positive interactions with new men. But I think it's just something sometimes, I don't know if it's someone that possibly looks familiar. And I've noticed it's just with me, not when she's with my partner, so I think she might associate that as well with it. But it's, yeah, definitely something that we'll be working on.
It sounds like she's very much picked up on your anxiety around that when that incident happened, and maybe, you know, she's almost protecting, you know, she's like, oh, something awful could happen. How have you managed to get over that incident? Because that's got to put you on edge now. When you take Mabel for a walk, are you kind of wary of what could happen and keeping Mabel safe?
Yeah, I think at the time, because I was so unfamiliar in Nottingham anyway, so it was a totally new environment for me. It did take me a little while initially to take her out on my own. I was really scared, and I sort of went to places that I knew were quite public places. I think now that we're down here and I'm in sort of familiar territory again, I'm a lot more comfortable, but it's definitely something that plays in my mind quite a lot. I definitely let people know where I'm going a lot more. I make sure that my phone's with me. I make sure that it's just something that plays in my mind to make sure that I'm also protecting myself, that I'm safe as well as Mabel, obviously. It's something that I think has made me appreciate sort of making sure that we're safe and things like that. It always plays on my mind. It's something to remember, definitely. But it was difficult at the time, I think, to get my confidence back to be able to take her out on my own again. And it was at that time when, unfortunately, all the dog thefts were occurring, so it definitely made me a bit more paranoid to start with. And it does take a while to get over it naturally, as it would. And I think with her being so young, I panicked, but it was an awful time, I think, to have something like that happen, especially with me being so unfamiliar in the environment we were in anyway.
Absolutely. It sounds like a horrible experience, but fortunately, I think dog thefts are quite rare. But it was kind of a little spate of things that happened, particularly during that lockdown period where prices for dogs were at an all-time high. So you've still got Mabel. She's living a great life back down at the coast, which is good. So we know life is pleasant for you both, but there's got to be frustrations, because there's always a frustration about something. So what's your biggest challenge?
Yeah, I think from Mabel's point of view, she's always finding water. So you can never have a dry walk. So she's always finding sort of water, mud, some description. So just forget about having a clean car, because it never happens. I think I clean my car every week near enough, because there's always some form of sand, water, mud in it. I think the biggest difficulty for us was also other people. So sort of when we're out doing training, things like that, just people that weren't being totally respectful of the fact that we wanted some space to do some training. Maybe it was desensitization to her sort of letting people go past and things like that. Also people with children, just letting them come up to Mabel. So that again was another thing after lockdown, was that she wasn't used to children running around screaming, schools, things like that. So we had to totally get used to all that. She hadn't met children before, so that was a huge thing. She's very gentle. I've got a niece and nephew down here in Cornwall, and she's really, really gentle with them. She just gets a bit freaked out when they scream, as you would. But I think that was a difficulty to begin with, was people letting their children just come up and say hello to her, which I've always been one that they need to ask before coming to stroke a dog. And also she wasn't initially overly comfortable with it. And a lot of children would just come over and obviously go for their face, which to a dog can be quite threatening. So I think it was just making sure that I was her advocate, making sure that I stuck by her and did the right thing by her, not just letting people come up to her without asking, first of all. I think definitely the biggest challenge is other people, is just doing things like when we're out with her and we see a dog coming on a lead, just putting her on the lead as well, because we don't know why that dog is on the lead. They could be aggressive, they could be reactive, they could be injured, they could be recovering from surgery. And it's the same with us, like when we took her out, she had some surgery not long ago, and we took her out on the lead, and other people were letting their dogs bound up to her, and obviously that caused us a bit of a problem, because she was meant to be just taking it slow and steady. So I think the difficulty is always other people, but just always making sure that I'm an advocate for her, that I'm sticking by her and doing what's right for her in any situation.
Yeah, you're absolutely her carer, her guardian, her everything, and looking after is the most important thing. If we've got people listening to this that are deciding whether they should get a Labrador or not, one of the things that might help them is understanding what you think the biggest misunderstanding is about having a Labrador. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier that actually typically people think Labradors are this chunky thing that just kind of plods along behind you. What is the biggest misunderstanding about having a Labrador in your life?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think they're just this fun, loving, full of life breed, which they definitely are. But that I think it does depend dog per dog. You're not going to get one breed that's totally matches their description to a T. You still have to work on it. You still have to be there for your dog, and you still have to make sure that you're consistent with training and things like that. You don't just get a Labrador and you've all of a sudden got this fun, happy, loving breed that's full of life with everything. It definitely takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of consistency and things like that. So I think people just think Labradors are generally very, very full of life, which they are. They are such a fun, loving breed, but it does take time, and it is something that you always need to be working on as well. Obviously, like you said, there is the thing that people often think labs are the chunky labs, but there are sort of there are the show labs and there are also the working labs. So the working labs are the leaner of the two. They're often a little bit taller. They can sometimes be a bit smaller, but the show labs are generally the chunkier ones. They're a little bit slower sometimes, whereas the working labs are sort of a bit more on the go. But I think people generally, like you said, they definitely see the chunky labs a bit more. So we always get asked if she's cross with everything. We even had someone that didn't believe us when we said she was a Labrador. She's definitely a Labrador. They didn't actually believe us, which was quite amusing, actually.
Oh, bless. What would you advise to someone that's just got a Labrador or thinking about getting one? So new puppy owner, what are we going to say to them that's going to make their kind of first few weeks or months just that little bit easier?
Yeah, I would definitely say to start enrichment prep from day one. So there's so many things out there. There's even things that you can do if you don't have the enrichment prep toys and things like that. You can do things. There's things we tried with Mabel. So you scatter some food in a blanket, roll it up and then give it to them. So things like that can really help. Obviously, there are other things like Kongs and topples and licky mats, which are just, to be honest, I'd recommend to anybody. I think they really, really help. You can freeze them to make them a little bit more difficult. The licking sensation also releases calming endorphins, so it can really help new puppies to settle and things like that. And when they're so young, they just need something something to occupy their brain. They need to keep busy. They need things to help them learn about the environment. So I think enrichment prep is such a huge thing. It doesn't have to be anything extreme. It can literally just be a case of smearing some wet food on a licky mat. You can also freeze it, but it doesn't have to be anything too crazy. There are sort of people on Instagram that do loads of stuff with their enrichment prep, which is really interesting. I find it so interesting to see what they're doing. But it doesn't have to be as crazy as that. It can be something so simple as scatter feeding their dry food. And you can even scatter feed it along the kitchen floor. You could scatter feed it in the grass, whichever. Just to get them sniffing, just to get their brains working. I think it's so important, even more so than physical exercise sometimes, as they need to have that brain exercise there and have the enrichment prep to just keep their brains busy, keep their brains occupied, and just be, it really helps, I think, with keeping the new puppy settled and everything.
It does, and it also gives them a job. You mentioned earlier about always needing to give Mabel a job, and this is a perfect example. You know, instead of just feeding them from a bowl, you can make them work for it a little bit, you know, get that brain and body working a little bit. So you mentioned about food-based enrichment. So I know that nutrition is something that particularly interests you. So putting the right stuff inside Mabel is obviously very important to you. So tell us a little bit about how that interest came about. Was it because of Mabel?
It was, yeah. So I just became so fascinated by it. So it sounds silly to say, but Mabel's actually, or she still is, quite a food fussy Labrador, which often the two words aren't together. People think Labradors are just food, food, food all the time. But we really struggled when she was a puppy to find a food that she was settled on. We found it really difficult to find some treats that she liked, that she really wanted to work for and things like that. So it was a really difficult time. And obviously I wanted to ensure she had the best food possible. When I was growing up, there's a brand that I always saw in the pet stores that I always thought was the high thing of dog food. Like, I thought it was the best thing on the market. I then came across a website called All About Dog Food, which just opened my mind to it all. And you can input any single brand of food and it breaks down the nutritional value. It gives you an overall nutritional percentage. And I just became obsessed by it, trying to find a food that she liked. We did sort of do the thing that I think anybody does, that you panic when they don't eat and then you try anything you can to get them to eat. But it was when we became consistent with it that she actually became settled on the food. And thankfully, 3 years on, she's very settled on her food. But we did try many things. We tried raw food. We tried various brands of dry food. Raw feeding just didn't work for us. Mabel didn't like it at all. It also wasn't practical from our point of view. If she'd really liked it and it was the only thing she'd eat, of course we would have made the effort to sort of make it work for us, but she didn't like it at all. She wouldn't eat it, so it was definitely something that just didn't work for us. But yeah, I think the nutrition thing, I just wanted to make sure that she was on a food that was really good quality, that was providing her with all the nutrients she needed, and also that I was just happy to give her. So it was just, that was such an important thing for me, which is what led me on to doing sort of more nutritional things.
And because you said about trying different foods, trying different things, understanding more about nutrition, listeners are now going to go, right, what is the secret? So share with us, what have you finally settled on for Mabel? What works best for you and her?
Yeah, so Mabel is on Eden. We were just, a big thing was just maintaining consistency. So we made sure not to change her food every time she didn't eat it, because she would just pick on with the fact that if she didn't eat it, she got something better. So we just maintained consistency. We were just very consistent with it. We also made it into a game. So we just incorporated her food into games, into training and things like that. And she became really settled on Eden. And thankfully, 3 years on, she's still settled on Eden. Eden, they've got a dry food, a semi-moist food, and the wet food as well, and she loves all three of them. We do alternate the flavors a bit just to switch it up, and sometimes she'll have a bit of wet food, sometimes not. So yeah, it's just so lovely to be actually on a food that she's settled on, because it did take us such a long time to just find a food that she liked, but that also I was really happy to give her, because I just knew it was providing her with everything she needed.
Sounds good. I have to say, I feed Eden to my dogs as well, and I can endorse everything you've just said. And I'm not being paid by Eden. So the other thing, nutrition is a big part, and I firmly believe that if you put good stuff in, you're going to see good stuff coming out. So better results with a brain and a body that's working well for us. So top nutrition tips, what would you say to specifically Labrador owners? What should they be doing? What can they do? What's going to help with that nutritional value that we're putting into our dogs and looking after them?
Yeah, so the main thing is just being consistent. I think just be consistent with the food. It's really important, I think, not to just chop and change every time they stop eating. I think it's just consistency is so important, because they'll pick up on the fact that if they don't eat, they get something better. I think researching foods is also a big factor. I think it's so much easier now to research dog foods than it ever was. You can have a look at the ingredients and things like that. A big thing on ingredients at the moment is derivatives. So obviously, that doesn't mean fresh meat content, but they'll say on the packaging, they'll do clever packaging and put with chicken. It might be that 4% of that food is chicken. So it's just, I think, paying attention to packaging, just making sure that reading the labels and things like that, just ensuring that you're getting the right bits for your dog. As you said before, like what you put in is what you get out. So just making sure that the foods that you're putting in are the best quality that you can. But it's definitely not a one size fits all. So there's not going to be one food brand that suits every single dog. It might be that the dog's got allergies and they might have intolerances, or they might just not like the food. Like, it's definitely not one size fits all. So I think you need to tailor it to your dog. You need to do what's right for your dog. But I think researching the best food that you can give that's within your budget, that your dog also likes, that has the nutritional value that your dog needs, I think is such an important thing to do. And websites like All About Dog Food can definitely provide that information that you need to sort of break down the food and the nutritional aspect as well.
I think that website is really interesting to look at. Even if you've got a dog food already that you're perfectly happy with and you've got no intention of moving, I still think it's quite good just to go and check out and see actually what you put in your dog and how good it is, because you might actually find that you need to supplement that a little bit to get a bit more goodness into your dog. So really key bits of information there. So thanks for sharing that. But if we go back to kind of general advice now to Labrador owners. So if we've got anyone listening that is sat at home with a Labrador and they're just finding it a little bit tough and they're finding it really challenging and they don't really know what they're meant to be doing with this dog or there's certain issues, what advice would you give them?
You're definitely not alone. I think stripping training right back to the basics is just number one. If your dog's not understanding it, it's so easy to get frustrated. We've all done it. But it's just making sure you understand that your dog isn't being disobedient on purpose. They're just not understanding what you want from them. Strip it right back to the basics. Just do it as if you're doing it from puppy style and just slowly incorporate, make it slightly more difficult if you need to. I think with Labrador specifically, be prepared that they will finish every walk wet and muddy. Just making sure that you are aware of that. They do love water, but it's so lovely, I think, to see them enjoying so many things like that. I think dog behaviour is a huge thing as well. I think a lot of people need to be aware of certain dog behaviours, because there's things that people think, oh, my dog's wagging his tail, he must be happy. That's not always the case. So it's, I think, so important to read up on dog behaviour. There's some great books and things like that which can offer some great advice just to be able to read your dog's body language a bit more, understand your dog a bit more. And obviously doing that will help you be a better advocate for your dog, so you can understand when they're in a situation and they might be feeling a bit more difficult. And then you can prevent problems before they start, because you can understand your dog's body language. If they're not quite comfortable with the situation, they're not sort of understanding what's going on, then reading books and knowing their behaviour, knowing what their sort of trigger points are, can really, really help just help prevent anything bad happening, or them to be feeling more uncomfortable and more stressed out unnecessarily.
Yeah, brilliant tips there. And I also think, you know, doing those things will help in the long run, because actually it makes our life easier, because it makes our dog's life easier. So really key bits of advice there. People that have listened to this are now going to want to go and check out Instagram to actually see Mabel and see what we're talking about, the lovely life that she lives at the beach. So give us a little shout out of where they can go and find Mabel on Instagram.
So we are Mabel_the_lab on Instagram. We're always sharing Cornish adventures. I try and keep it that we're sharing dog friendly places as well, because I get a lot of people messaging me asking for dog friendly places to go, dog friendly places to stay. We've been lucky enough to stay in some dog friendly accommodation and things like that in Cornwall, so we can share from personal experiences what we've loved and why. We share walks and beaches, the sea, everything like that. So anywhere in Cornwall that's dog related, we'll definitely be there. I try and share lots of dog friendly places. I especially like the small businesses. There's a lot of small businesses in Cornwall that aren't always on the beaten track. They're sort of maybe a bit out of the way, but often are the most amazing places to go to. So I always try and share and be an advocate for sort of smaller businesses as well. Share our walks, share where we've been, share the beaches, share how lucky we are to live here, because we are so, so blessed to live in such a beautiful place.
I promise you, if you go and check out Mabel's account, you will want to move to Cornwall within about 5 minutes. if you would like to follow Mabel's journey, you'll find the Instagram details in the show notes. And you can also check there for links to the Eden dog food that we've mentioned, and also a little referral code from Mabel. Olivia, thank you so much for sharing your insights about the wonderful world of Mabel. Thanks for joining us. Find out more by checking out talesofsuccess.com or search @talessuccess on your social channels.